All right, let's what's up with a prayer, and we jump right in this. Father, y'all, we just bless you, and we honor you for being the almighty God that you are. And on tonight, we seek wisdom and understanding. We bless you in advance for it. So we thank you for just all the things that you do, the plans that you have for us, the responsibilities. We accept them with great joy and pleasure to be vessels that are being used by you. We just glorify you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. Tonight, I wanted to discuss some things in reference to just information that I've been getting, and also I've been writing quite a bit the past few days. You guys have been leading me to write. And Mama Coach's been sending me information, confirming some things, and High is sending me information, confirming some things, and we've been having, you know, conversation, Elder and I, and just other people, you know, different people, my brother, sister, Deanna. We've been just talking about quite a few things, other people that call in and stuff like that, and we just been having different conversations about these events that has been, taking place, and there's just some things that, you know, I just want to discuss and just continue to keep us focused and just on the same page for the things that sit before us, the video that Mama Coach sent me is, I don't know if I can find it. I have it on my phone, but I don't know. Well, you might have to help me on it. Yeah, she sends a few of them, didn't she? Each one of them, I'm like, wow. He never touched him, so I'm like, give up. The one specifically about Brother Copeland. Now, if I hit play, it'll pick up here, won't it? I don't know if we have it set up, because I've been mailing, so I don't know if it will. Let's just see. I don't even know I don't even know what the heading is. So as you're looking, I just kind of talk. Okay. Yeah, so there are things that we're starting to see come into play, and it's amazing to look at, and it really confirms what the scripture says, or it gives us a clear understanding of why the scripture talks about the persecution of us as a people. Because when you look at the mindset of the so-called church now, you'll start to see some things that will make you say, okay, man, this is bad. Because this is coming from people who are supposed to be and are looked up to as spiritual leaders. And it confirms this prophecy that a guy, there was a prophet that gave this prophecy, and I've said to you guys before, he gave a prophecy in reference to three groups of preachers. He said there was one group. Yeah, that's it right there. I'm
trying to find which one is the one she actually sent, though. But these are in that vein, but. Trying to find the one that she offered.
Okay, but I'll just keep talking until you do. Okay. And so in.
Where?
The one right there with the second one.
But this, maybe.
So I'll just keep talking to you again. So in this prophecy this guy gave, he said there were three groups of preachers sitting on what looked like bleachers. He said the first group were preachers that that were recognizable, but a lot of them had already, a lot of them had already died. Yeah, so I'll play it after. A lot of them had already died, and a lot of them had already died. And then he said, in the second section, there was a group of preachers. He said, if he called out the names, he said everyone would recognize those names. He said, but these particular preachers, he said, they kept elbowing one another. He was pushing, so he was very, very, unorganized and very, it was like chaotic. And so they was pushing one another. And he said it was like they was trying to get in better position than the other. He said, if he, in a better position as the other, he said, if he named those people, he said, y'all would know who they are because they're preachers that you see on television and stuff like that. They're well known today. Then he said, on this next section of bleachers, he said, there was this group of preachers. He said, nobody knew who they were. He said, they were sitting in the bleachers. They was quiet, like football bleachers. He said, they were sitting there, they was quiet. And he said, they was like focused. And they just was, organized, but they weren't saying nothing. They was calm and just quiet. And said, Yah said to him, that is the group that will usher in the return of Christ. That particular group. Now, when he named that second group of preachers, this is the mentality of these group of preachers, and you'll see it. And there are certain things that we have to ask ourselves now. If this is a man of God, what is going on? Or if these are men and women of God, what is going on that make them do the things that they do? Y'all saw the video, I think we showed that.
Paula White,
you saw that. What is it that make these people say that God chose this man? That's true. One person put their fingers together the same month. Now, I have a tendency to agree to a certain extent. Because we know Yah picked Nebuchadnezzar also. But when Yah does something, he does it to bring about his divine will. So it's not from the perspective of what they were saying, is that Yah picked him in order for the kingdom to be advanced. Yah picked him to expose them. So Yah said, I'm finna show the world What type of evangelical Christians the majority of these people are that you watch on television and you look up to. I have looked up to individuals like this, and matter of fact, this individual is my pastor's pastor. And so I've had a lot of encounters with this man and been in a lot of private settings and public settings and different things like that, and been right there on these front rows that you're getting ready to look at. And so when I think back on these things and what I'm about to show you, I now fully understand and appreciate why Yah said, you're not going this path. It leaves me dumbfounded now. It leaves me at awe to see why Yah said it, and how important it was to obey that, and then look at that 20 years later. Because that's how long ago it was. Y'all told me that in 2000. Go ahead.
Understanding that this is the root.
This is the root.
Yeah. If you were going to be on that tree, this is the root.
In other words, so I'll say it this way. We're looking at the root of what I would have grown from as and became a fruit of. Okay? And you see this mentality throughout all of these people, and they're intertwined and they're connected. And when you see him, you see all of these other ones. Matter of fact, he's the richest pastor. Yeah. You see him in another deal on there. He's the highest paid. $1 million, I think. It's close to a trillion. Yeah. I mean, it's close to a billion, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's close to being a billionaire. And so when you see these different things and you understand the connections between him and Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and all these different people, those are men that I grew up hearing them talk about and what was considered to be quote our fathers in the ministry. So I was gonna be a fruit of that. And y'all stopped me in my track in the year 2000 and said, you're not going this path. I didn't understand what it was. He said, don't move. I'm doing something different with you. Well, if I had moved 20 years from now, I would have been sitting there hee-ha-haing just like they doing right here. And y'all so wonderful, man. I'm like, y'all, you take this nut. And you, and out of all the, you know, out of all the people, you grabbed a nut and sit him on the side and said, I'm doing something different with you. He could have done something different with a whole lot of people in there. But he said, no, you sit there. Everybody else was still moving. Still moving to this day. They hee-hee and ha-haing with him to this day.
Let me, and you really go ahead. Don't care about them.
No, that's a sobering statement. He really don't care about them. When you look at the mindset of these people, matter of fact, the church that Paula White pastors belonged to a son in the ministry who, by the way, church had outgrown hers, and that man and his wife built that ministry to Israelite man and his wife built that ministry. Strong ministry. All of a sudden, he come up dead. Yes. He come up dead, and she is ready as the spiritual mom and take over that church and basically split it. Pushed his wife clean out of the way.
Yeah, sure did.
And at that particular time, she was going through chaos at their church because her and her husband was getting a divorce. They was going through chaos, and she swooped right on in and took that man's church all by pretending she was the spiritual mom and got some of those wicked leaders to agree with her, and they got on her side and pushed the wife who was right there with that man and helped them start that church and had all those thousands of people there, pushed them on out of the way, and now she's the pastor of the church. When you look at the mindset of these people, you have something?
You say they probably ain't doing so good now.
But then they apologize. He calls
himself
apologizing.
Well, see, now all of them are hitting this reality now. It's like y'all said, I'm finna put on you to the high degree. I hear it. Y'all saying, y'all sent him a lying spirit, a deceiving spirit, to cause them to launch out and be what they actually are so they could be exposed to the world. And then he snatched all their plans out from under them. Now they don't know what to do. So they're reeling now because they realize I've stuck myself out there and showed my hand and showed what I'm about, and now I'm stuck and I don't have that base that I thought I was going to have the next 4 years. I'm in some serious trouble. Okay? Let's look at this, what this guy does.
The media said what? The media said Joe Biden's president. Ha 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 ha.
Now you know they put it on a token.
Ha 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 ha. The media said what?
Now, what that laugh was about was the arrogance enough to think that they had the power to command Yah. I know. I come from this stuff. I know it like the back of my hand. One of the things that they believe is that you can command Yah. And so you can go, I believe it's found in Isaiah 55, Isaiah 55, Let me pull it up here. But it's a misinterpretation of the scripture. In Isaiah 55, Yah is saying to mankind, do you think that you can command me? He said, command ye me concerning these things. He's rebuking them. So, oh, you think you can command me concerning things? But they interpret it as you can command Yah. So what you saw Paula White decreeing, and what you see that laughter about, is we the people of God, and since we the people of God, we can command things to be. We can call those things that be not as though they were. So it don't matter what the media say, we got the last say so, because God is on our side and we control him. He's Puff the Dragon. He do whatever we want him to do. That's what's in the pulpit. You'd be shocked. The millions of people that they influence on a daily basis. Like, millions. Go ahead.
It's like Trump, but in a different arena.
Different arena. So, as I mentioned, what they decided to do was come together and put someone in office who was going to be vile enough to do everything they needed done in order to push their agenda. So whatever they like and don't like, that's what they were pushing him to do, and he was doing it. He was doing it to try to get those votes. He ain't bit more care nothing about them, and they don't bit more care nothing about him. It's two evils got in the bed together and decide they want to use one another. Trump said, I'll use y'all to get your vote. They said, well, we'll let you use us as long as we get what we want. Go ahead.
A regular thinking person that knows God, that knows and believes his word as it is, how can you do those things in his name when they're evil and corrupt things? And then they're going along like, we're the ones, we know him, but and this
is... One of the problems when you said know God's word, they don't interpret God's word like Pastor teaches us to interpret word for word. They fix it to where...
But you gotta have a serious conscience to do that, because even if you don't, like, you just won't understand. You won't make evil good.
I give you a case in point to confirm what you just said. Back again when I was sitting in that meeting in 2000, I didn't have a clue. I thought what I was dealing with and hearing was right. I thought it was the kingdom, but the heart was pure. And because of that, Yah said, you can't move. I'm doing something different with you. I found somebody heart who lines up with what I need, and you're stupid right now. So what you do when you get back home, start from Genesis. That's when he told me. Start in Genesis and study every word till you get to Revelation 12 years later. So as Elder pointed out, the difference between my mindset and theirs is my conscience was not seared. And Yah said, I still can deal something with that. I can do something with that. But the rest of them conscience was so seared, Yah just spoke to one person out of hundreds in a room. Said, I'm doing something different with you. You don't move. Everybody move but me. And what you just saw is the mindset of these people and the damage that they have done to the kingdom. Go ahead.
Listen, here's how you know that conscience is seared. Because in the light of all of the things that go on, right? Like, if your conscience wasn't seared, you would see these things and be like, something is wrong. Something ain't right. I can't keep going down this road. But the fact that this blatant stuff can keep hitting you in the face, and you just be like, I don't see that. Let me keep going. That tell you conscience got to be seared.
And when people lose the love of mankind, how you gonna...
That's a defining moment right there.
Right, when you don't value life, that's a problem.
In other words, what you're saying is they value their agenda more than they do life.
Yep.
Because when we're killed on the street, they Brother Copeland, Paula White, all of them remain silent when we're killed on the streets. All of them remain silent when we're killed on the street. But let something go on that affects their agenda.
Let them talk about abortion and then they got something to say.
Something to say. Here's what they actually said in one of the videos that Mama Coach sent me. They actually said in a nutshell, we know that Trump have some issues morally, but that's not our concern. Our concern is that he, in a nutshell, he pushing the agenda that is necessary from our perspective in order to accommodate what we feel like is righteousness.
But this is what it has been, well, not really bothering me, but they can overlook Trump's sin, but you can't look up the other sin. Isn't it that one sin is not greater than the other? It's still a sin.
It's still a sin.
One is about my agenda and one ain't.
And so in the writing today, I addressed that. And I addressed it from... Matthew 5 when it says Matthew 5:7 I think. And so what I went on to say is the reason why they can't see Trump's issue is because they are pretending just like he is. A hypocrite is a stage player. It is someone who is an actor on a stage, but it's not the reality of what they are. And so I said, the reason why you can put up with somebody immoral like that is because there is immorality going on in your heart. I said, but these next 4 years, we're going to hold them. We know what we see that real stuff Biden do when he be rubbing on little kids, when he's standing. We see that stuff. We know the track record of Vice President Harris. We know how she's done us as a people as far as, you know, I think incarcerations and things like that is concerned. We know all that information, but at the same time, we're going to hold them accountable since they're in office. The issue with these people is that no matter what he did, it was okay as long as their agenda was being pushed. That's wickedness.
And obviously, their agenda didn't cater to us.
Not at all. And so when you look at Isaiah 45...
Not catered, it was targeted at us.
Exactly. And so that's why I had Tick Mama Coke Bastard. Now you understand why we're going to be persecuted the way that we are. When you have people like this, I said, these are the same type of people who took their kids to lynchings. These are the same folks.
You best believe that mindset is still on the ones that
them the same
day.
Folks.
Do the same thing.
They're the same people, y'all. The same people who went to church, put on a Ku Klux Klan uniform, and went out and lynched stuff, and then went back and prayed and thanked God for them being able to lynch us. Them the same people. They just got on different type of suits and stuff now. And so when you look at Isaiah 45, I said 55, it's 45. Isaiah 45 verse 10 said, "Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begetteth thou? Or a woman, what hast thou brought forth?" Yah is establishing his superiority. He said, who said to her father, "What you get?" Or to the woman, "What hast thou brought forth?" What child go to their parent and say that? Then he says, "Thus saith Yah, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hand, command ye me." He's not telling them to command because it's within the same subject matter as verse 10. He said, you got the nerve enough to tell me what to do? I'm your maker. You're not running nothing. I'm the authority. And so they take this verse and then say, you command Yah. Well, when you look at verse 12, he said, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the heavens and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness and I will direct all his path. He shall build my city and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts." And then as you continue to read it, just talking about things, but Yah's establishing his supreme authority. He's not going around telling people they can command him, but that's what these evangelicals teach. You can command Yah.
And that is just weird all by itself. How can the thing that was made command anything of the one who made it?
That's why he asked the questions in verse 10.
How did you misinterpret that?
You said it earlier, conscious seared. When you're conscious seared, you see everything that makes you God.
Your agenda, huh?
There you go.
So is it the spirit of the devil that brings those things to pass for them and they perceive it to be God?
I mean, when you look at the things that are being done, it can work twofold. Sometimes Yah will allow the things to take place. I use myself as another example. Yah said, you know what? I got a ministry that's coming. And I have to let them go through a process of prospering just to get to what I really want to prosper. And so it's like there are certain things that put me in the position to be where I am now. And the only way that I could have been in those positions, the only way that I'm in those positions now is to having gone through those processes to see things that were good, to see things that were bad, and to understand what I do now of why y'all really said sit there and don't move. If I hadn't had those experiences, I wouldn't be the preacher that I am now. So to take it with a grain of salt, it could work both ways.
And at the same time, if their heart, even from an evil perspective, line up to what Yah want to do, he'll bring them along and use them for his purpose. And you look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh fit the bill.
Yeah.
So, okay, Yah hardened his heart because what he was doing fit the bill of what Yah wanted doing. So he'll let them go along. Mm-hmm. Long as they line up. So that's the thing you don't understand. Like, and that's the same thing I say with Trump. Like, his heart may line up from an evil perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let you go along and do what you do. To that time come when I'm ready to deal with you. And then I deal with you.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why Yah started to establish something in the earth. Because he got me up that morning, he said, I want you to write. And I want you to tell the world, so to speak, because the people sent that thing around and a lot of folks migrate to my page and you know, and people were sharing it and things like that. He said, I want you to, in a nutshell, put the world on notice that I'm doing something. And the way that they gonna know is I'm gonna make you say it before it happened. So I go in there and I say, Trump, he is gonna lose. And this is why he gonna lose. Now, when that's said, we gotta either he is or he ain't. There's no, I hear the spirit saying that somebody got a headache. And somebody was back over there said, well, I got one. Well, somebody toe is hurting. Well, my toe. No. When y'all dealing with it, he's going to say, such and such got a headache and your toe hurt. So y'all said, I'm gonna decree a thing and let the whole world now look at it and be able to judge. And they're going to be able to determine what's me and what's not me. And one of the guys acknowledged it. He said, Pastor, I got mad respect. You said this some days ago. Y'all separating that stuff. And so now you got a situation where people like this, the video I just showed, then the video that we know about, Paul White, all these different type of so-called men and women of God, great men and women of God, all praying about the same thing. And y'all said, I'm just going to show you who I'm really dealing with. I'm going to show you that you're not my church. Because if you were my church, you would be speaking up for my people. Remember, Ella brought it up, what was it, this past Sabbath service, Matthew 25. They're going to be judged on how they treat Israel. That goes from Paula White Copeland all the way down. They think they're walking in salvation now, but you have a certain mindset toward y'all's people.
One of Trump's spiritual advisors passed away.
This whole lot of stuff finna go down. So that's why he told me this morning, he said, get up and I want you to decree something. What you decree is what I'm going to do. So I just told him, I said, you're going to see the black community coming together, unified, under the hand of Yah. I was basically telling him, you're going to see Israel with God's hand on them.
In the state of Georgia, the runoff between those two senators that can cause the Senate to go from Republican to Democrat, that's unheard of
yes.
in the South.
Yes.
And the fact that Biden won Georgia, that's unheard of.
Yes.
And then the lady, because of the black vote.
Exactly. Now, what was the confirm, Mama Coach, you said, what is the lady, do you remember the lady's name? I watched a few videos of her.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
She was responsible yeah. for pulling the black community together in Georgia and called Biden to win yeah. that thing.
Mm-hmm. Herself, like the 80,000.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. Here's what Yah is getting ready to do. He's getting ready to take people like her and put them with people like us and keep connecting those dots. And we're going to be something to reckon with. That's why I started telling them, if you don't act right, we're going to vote you out. If you don't do right, we're going to stop doing business with you. We're going to start doing all these things. You don't like us, we're going to stay on our side of the tracks.
That's what's going to really make them mad.
Yes, it is.
They start hitting their pocketbooks. We're going to become targets.
Yes, it is. So I made it plain. Since y'all have made it clear that y'all don't care nothing about us, we're making it clear that our feelings are the same. Let's stop playing games. You an enemy, we're going to recognize you at that. You don't like us, we don't like you. Let's stop playing games. Let's quit doing this in the name of the love of the Lord, and let's call this what it is. You're an enemy, and we're going to treat you like an enemy because that's how you treat us. We understand you're not going to change. We just now have awakened, and we're not looking for you to. When we come to that realization, we'll stop depending on these people to do stuff that we need to be doing for ourselves. One thing I realize is the issue with reparations is this. It's not that it hasn't been brought up. There are people who sitting in those Senate seats who knock it down every time it's brought up. Mm-hmm. Because they are your racist people from all over different states that are sitting there making that decision for black people not to get it. Not that it can't be done. It's that this you have Mr. Ku Klux Klan and Mrs. Ku Klux Klan sitting there saying no.
It's the same way with the stimulus thing. So many people, you know, losing their homes and can't work and all of that. And with the stroke of a pen,
well,
people could get what they need, but they tied up.
Mm-hmm.
Trump said he ain't
going to
do it
until
he get back in office.
Oh, well, I guess that's what they said. What they said, he stopped doing his job, and they said he lost. He just sits in the white.
He wasn't doing his job.
Well, we know that. You know that.
Well, he playing golf and all that stuff now. And what his plans are, he's just going to try to make stuff as messy as he can before he get up out of there.
Oh, and he's on a good road to doing that.
Yeah.
If y'all saw the thing that I watched, the where they laid the wreath on the unknown soldier there with him. If you watch Trump, when he walked up, he was mad. He did not want to be there. And you can tell it by his body language.
Mm-hmm.
His facial expression and everything. He did not want to be there.
Yeah, his niece is warning people. She's saying, my uncle, it go off the deep end once things don't go his way and he go there, say he can be the worst person you ever want to deal with. She already warning people.
And that can be dangerous for the country, too, because
he can write things in the law.
Well, and the power that he has, he could wreak havoc in
the
CIA, the FBI.
He sure can.
He sure can. He fired his top three guys at the Pentagon.
He sure can. It's a whole lot of things he can do before he get out of here by January.
Yeah. You fire somebody over a tweet. But that ain't never happened before. So it's just, I guess, We ain't seen
things
it
are more
yet.
Dangerous yeah. now than they have been.
They are.
They're more dangerous than they have been.
They are. That's what I was saying. Be wise. Be wise and where you be and stuff. That's what I was saying. And so These are, and not only that, you have these Christian evangelicals who are thrown off and upset, and they ain't telling how they're thinking either.
Well, I mean, you make the connection like what you said earlier. The Ku Klux Klan was the same one going to the church.
Same
one. You don't know if these evangelists is this, what is it, Al-Anon or whatever that stuff is. The Proud Boys or whatever.
You never know.
They could be the same people.
You never know. All them meetings they got sitting there. You think they want to put something up to try to keep their agenda going?
And to keep us in our place?
Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, so that's what is, you know, that's what's going on. And you know, these people are afraid. You know, they've been exposed, you know. As you mentioned that you know, Copeland tried to apologize in some roundabout way.
Yeah, he tried to apologize.
Well, somebody sent me a video of a white, she was saying that people call me. Don't just say stuff about me. You know, call me if you want to talk. Well, old Roland Martin, whatever his name is, he had me rolling. But he said he texted her when she first did it and tried to contact her, said she wouldn't reply. Mm-hmm. Now she on that time of call her, you can talk to me.
Yeah, like she want to fight something.
Yeah, that's what she was doing. Call her, like, I wish I had your number. I'd light you up, homegirl. I'd call you too, you know. But these are the things that's going on, and you know, and I can't say it enough. I'm very much impressed with y'all and how he took something 20 years ago that I didn't understand, and all I did was just obeyed and trusted him, and then to be sitting here now to understand why he said that to me those 20 years ago, and to see all the things that has happened as a result of him saying that, it just leaves me dumbfounded. Just leave me dumbfounded. And these men like Brother Copeland and people like that, they have so much influence, specifically to a lot of black churches. Here you have, you know, my pastor, he has a big influence on him. There's no telling the things that he has said or had him to do. Because I know how he think in reference to his pastor. Because I used to think the same way. Y'all was like, you ain't going this way. And so it's like he's willing to do anything for Brother Copeland. And I've been in private cities and have heard certain things being said and stuff like that. And I used to be like, wait a minute. So you go to the White House? Bishop Jakes is sitting on this side, and Brother Copeland sitting on one side, and you decide not to say nothing. Brother Copeland called you that night and said, they said why you didn't say nothing. He said, he told Brother Copeland, well, they don't ever do what we say, so I just decided I wasn't going to say nothing this time. Yeah, but do you understand, Pastor, what he just did? They had him to call you because they know he controls you. So they had him to call you to check you or why you didn't take them. That's what I'm sitting there saying. I'm sitting there saying to myself, do he realize what they just had Brother Copeland to do? Brother Copeland influences him to the point where they said, we ain't got to call him and ask him what's wrong. Let Copeland call him and straighten him out. Let his handler handle him. That's how I saw it. If I'm crazy, and I just sit in your office, can't you, your people call me? What they got to call somebody who's sitting in the office beside me? I'm the one crazy. But you call somebody else because you think that they got control of me, or you know they got control of me. And for what I know that he got control of my past. Because I have heard my past. I don't care. I just say what I say. Because I have heard my own pastor say that it don't matter what Brother Copeland do, he's still going to stand in this corner. I was like, well, not me with you. I'm standing with the Lord. So if you get crazy, I'll holler.
So that scripture that you scripture, follow me even as I follow Christ, it just kind of fell off the plate.
That's just a cliche to them. It's follow me because I'm your pastor. And it don't matter what I do. I can sing and do everything. You just stand in my corner and just do exactly what I want you to do.
So y'all gonna have the eagle meetings over the internet?
I don't know how they're gonna do it. I ain't even going. I thought about going just to be entertained, but I was like, I don't feel like being entertained this year. Yeah, I can change that, but right now, I never want to go down there, by the way. I hadn't want to go down there since 2000. Y'all always say, you going this year? I'll be like, oh, man. They'll tell you, I fuss every year. I'll be fussing every year. But I don't want to go.
That's why I was bad for them.
You said, hey, you going down there. I want to go. You going? That. No, I ain't going. I mean, man, y'all making me.
You calling me.
I'd be wanting to cry, man. Y'all make me go down there again.
It should be interesting this time.
Yeah, it's very much so. Yeah, see, y'all trying to boost me up and go down here. Man. Yeah, it is going to be interesting. That is for sure.
Waiting for the trickle down for him to come on and help us over here.
Trickle, help us what? Give us a wave, hand clap. Y'all did good.
Take some credit when we get done.
Thank you, y'all did good. Look at my son in the ministry. Y'all did good. Shoot, that's the only help we get. But then every time we go down there, try to get help though. It's crazy. Well, you know, it's just what I wanted to share with y'all, just for you to see and to understand these people who has influenced millions. You know, some of these people, ministry been going on 50, 60 years. They have been doing this. Some of these folks
have gotten really quiet.
Yeah, some of them in their 80s and 90s, man, and they started their ministries when they was like in their 20s and stuff. So we talking about 50, 60, 70 years these folks been doing this.
Well, I have a comment. So Yah basically stopped you from being a fruit of that tree. But he took you and he made you a root of his own tree. And what he's doing is that tree that's going to grow from what he's doing from you is going to judge the world. And that's what's coming up.
I mean, even when you look at the things that I write, you can see that he's setting the stage for something and people are paying attention. And that's why, you know, it's, I would be very uncomfortable to say the things that I say if y'all wouldn't leave me to do it. I mean, it takes some nerves to jump out there and say something that's going to happen that hadn't happened. And to put complete trust in y'all that he going to do what he said. Because there's no room for error when you do that. Either it's going to happen or it's not. When I say he was going to lose, either he was going to lose or I was going to be classified as a liar and a false prophet. There's no in between. And I wasn't nervous at all. Because I knew Yah was going to do exactly what he said. And so, Yah is sitting at stage and allowing people to see and understand the difference. What's the difference between somebody who's praying and commanding and confessing and calling angels from Africa? And someone who's really saying what Yah's saying. That's what people saw.
And people gonna see that more and more in the days that's coming. Yah is gonna distinguish between what's his and what's not his, and it's gonna be easy for people to judge. They ain't gonna have to try and figure out is this a man of God? This ain't a man of God. No, Yah gonna manifest, and you gonna know. I ain't never seen no stuff like this before. This must be a man of God.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to Brent earlier today, and he said, man, He said, they're going to start paying attention after a while. He said, because everything you done said, it came to pass. I was like, I didn't really think about it like that. He said, man, everything I've heard you say, it came to pass. I said, well, that's y'all's doing. That's not me. I ain't got that kind of sense. All right, any questions, comments? We good? All righty. You know, I say this before I get off. Just thank y'all for your prayers. I'm recovering pretty good. I say I'm around about 70% now. You know, I had gained like 40 pounds in a month. I've lost it in 2 weeks. I weighed today at 200 pounds. I was about 238, what was it, 2 weeks ago? And so, you know, it was a combination of things that I needed. You know, I had to get back on the blood pressure medicine. And the reason why I had to get back on it is because I needed to sleep. And so I had got so far behind the eight ball that I wasn't sleeping. And because I wasn't sleeping, where my body is, for some reason, when I lay down, I get rid of fluid. I get rid of it during the day, but I get rid of it more so when I lay down. And I just wasn't sleeping much at all, and so I was just retaining. And so once I did that, it allowed me to start sleeping. Once I started sleeping, it allowed me to rest where I could go actually work out. It gave me the energy to work out. Once I started working out, started getting my strength back. Some of my strength still not all the way there. Started getting strength back and started moving the body. And I started losing 5, 6 pounds a day. And I just did that from last week all the way up to now. So really, it's been a little bit over 7 days. I lost about 38 pounds. Around about 7, 8 days. And so, feel a lot better, moving around a lot better. You probably can tell even better as far as my voice is concerned and stuff like that. Just feeling better. Like I said, still got a ways to go. I think I'm about 70%. But getting there. So again, thank y'all for your prayers. Anything else? No, I'm finished. Father Yahweh, we bless you for just your wisdom and allowing us to see the mindset of these people. You know, the reason why I just said wall is because I was going to say, we can pray for them. Y'all said, don't pray for them. Wow. That's why I said wow, too. I was going to say, you know, we pray for these people. Y'all said, do not pray for them. And y'all, we obey your word and that we just stand back and allow your will to be done in their lives. Whatever decision you make is, we're perfectly aligned to trust you in their decision-making. Just give us the wisdom to understand how we need to operate and continue to lead and guide us and just bless us to be the vessels that you can use in these days. And we just praise you for that and thank you for guiding us all these years and will guide us in the many days to come. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say something real quick before.